Well, welcome to the Storefront Church Radio program. This is your brother in Christ Jesus, Freddie Wilbanks, thanking you for walking through our door, finding us on your radio dial or this radio station's internet connection, or the webpage, thestorefrontchurch.com. Today's program is 1920, and the initial air date for this program is Sunday, May 12th. I didn't mess that up, it's May 19th. 2019. Later in the program, we'll share a message titled, They Saw a Young Man. Sometimes in these introductions, I don't correct the dates like I should, and so this program is the program after Mother's Day, scheduled for May 19th, 2019. And yes, later in the program, a message entitled, They Saw a Young Man. Thank you for praying for and supporting this ministry. There's room for everyone at the Storefront Church. Now that you're here, we want you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and worship Him with us. Sponsoring this program is Pilgrim Evangelistic Ministries, proclaiming the life-changing good news about the sinless life, the death on the cross, and the resurrection from the grave of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through whom by faith we have eternal life. This broadcast is made possible by the prayerful support and financial support of listeners. If you'd like to sponsor the Storefront Church radio program, you can donate at our webpage, thestorefrontchurch.com, or by calling area code 989-871-9668. Once again, you can get on the internet and reach us at the webpage, thestorefrontchurch.com, or call area code 989-871-9668 with your pledge of support. We want to thank Pastor Garrett and Dawn Starr, Sister Dawn Starr, and the Congregation of Clio Assembly of God for inviting us to record the Storefront Church radio program with them during their worship service today. The church is located at 305 New Street, Clio, Michigan, two blocks south of the Clio City offices located on M57, also known as Vienna Road. If you do not have a home church, they invite you to join them at 11 a.m. Sunday mornings for their worship service. Agree with us in prayer for a Jesus Christ Holy Ghost revival during this time of reprieve in this nation and around the world. Pray for our fellow citizens, government officials, judges, bureaucrats, the president, and the invaders. Agree with us in prayer for missionaries, veterans, and fellow Christians, many who are in harm's way, and some of them have been killed and wounded because of God's word and profession of faith in Jesus Christ. But for now, put your Bible down on one of those homemade pews, stand or have a seat, pick up one of those dog-eared hymnals, and let's worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to start out with an old chorus here. I am blessed.
I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day of my life I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed, I am blessed, I am blessed. Every day of my life I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed, I am blessed. Every day of my life I am blessed. When I lay my head to rest, I am blessed, I am blessed.
Praise the Lord. I encourage you to sing that chorus every morning when you get up and start out the day proclaiming to yourself that you're blessed. Well, pick up those old hymnals. We're going to use those hymnals today and turn with us to hymn number 240. This is one of them churches where they still have a few of the hymnals. Man, praise the Lord. The technology is not turned on today. There's no screen and flashing lights or beautiful pictures on the background here. But hymn number 240. Mm-hmm.
came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory. My Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I've heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the songs of victory. Savior forever, he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
You got the victory this morning? Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with us to hymn number 403. 403. What a friend we have in Jesus. Our sin and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Pain we bear, all because we do not carry every God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with the load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield you. You will find a solace there. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for being such a wonderful friend. All right, let's turn them hymnals to hymn number 249. 249. I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land. I am on my way to those mansions fair, just over in the glory land. There to sing God's praise and his glory share, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land. What a joyful thought that my Lord I'll see, just over in the glory land, and with kindred saved there forever be. Just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I stand. Just over in the glory land. With the blood washed throng, I will shout and sing, just over in the glory land. Let hosannas to Christ the Lord and King, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join
the happy angel band, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there we, a mighty host I stand, just over in the glory land. Yes, just over in the glory land, there join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there with a mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land.
All right, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Well, let's turn to hymn number 252, and excuse me while I wet my whistle here. Praise the Lord. Hymn number 252.
Coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, and no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day and glorious day that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Yes, what a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, a glorious day that will be. What a day, a glorious day.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art.
to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Father God, we thank you for each and every one that's come this way today, Lord Jesus. We ask you just bless each one. Lord God, we ask, Lord God, we pray for the ones that couldn't make it today, Lord God, whether it be in sickness or something, Lord Jesus, but just touch those that weren't able to make it here. We pray for the pastor and his wife as they're off having a time up in Minnesota, I believe it is. But thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Those of you who are standing, if you want to remain standing, you can. If you want to sit down, praise the name of the Lord. I've been asked to do a selection a couple times and haven't been able to do it. So we're going to do a homemade song today. A spring slams a screen door on a front porch. Standing dry in hands, calloused, tired, and sore. Standing on weathered boards cut from the old oaks. When the boys cleared the bottoms 40 years before. Gray-streaked hair was brushed and neatly pulled back. The netting kept it from tumbling toward the floor. She'd been waiting, praying for son and family. 800 miles in the night, reaching her front door. In the night, she'd clutch the family Bible, and she'd call their names before the Lord. I hear our names being called out in the darkness. Fill them with your spirit and save their precious souls. Watermelon preserves, homemade biscuits, grits and chocolate gravy cooked on a wood-burning stove. The four-room shack was clean, neat, all in order. Lit by the light that hung down with its pull cord. Well, the rain starts beating down on that old tin roof and a turquoise Plymouth rolls out of the dirt yard. And tears are filling weary eyes this morning as another year of longing starts tearing at her heart. In the night, she'd clutch the family Bible and she'd call our names before the Lord. I hear our names being called out in the darkness. Fill them with your spirit and save their precious souls. She wasn't perfect, just a godly kind of woman. Not a beauty nor a model on a magazine. But this country misses her and those like her. One's reading family Bibles and praying for you and me. In the night, she'd clutch the family Bible and she'd call our names before the Lord. I hear our names being called out in the darkness. Fill them with your spirit and save their precious souls. For in the night she clutched the family Bible and she'd call my name before the Lord. I hear my name being called out in the darkness. Fill him with your spirit and save his precious soul. Yes, fill him with your spirit and save his precious soul. Praise the Lord. Praise it. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Brother Dave's asked me to do that a couple of times, and praise the Lord. Today was that time when we got to do it. Well, pick up your Bibles off them old homemade pews and turn with me to the book of Mark. Praise the Lord. The book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 1. The title of this message, as we shared with you a little bit ago, is They Saw a Young Man. This is the fourth Sunday after Easter, and the last time we recorded the service, I made a mistake and said it was the fourth Sunday after Easter. Well, this is supposed to be aired on the fourth Sunday after Easter. And a question I've been asking our audience to ponder upon is, what's going on with the disciples after the crucifixion of Christ? And we've spent some time about the time, and some of the scripture today is going to be about that time right after the crucifixion and the resurrection. And some things that are said in the scriptures about the time following. And here, what I want people to dwell on and think upon is that there's a period of time between the risen of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and the day of ascension, where some things are going on. We're not told a lot of detail, great detail about what's going on, but for many in Christendom, there's Easter, there's the resurrection, and then it's on to spring or what have you. There's not necessarily much thought given to what's going on, what went on during that time frame between the time of Jesus' resurrection and the day of ascension, and even less time and even less is shared with us about that time between the time of ascension and the day of Pentecost. But in Mark chapter 16, verse 3, praise God. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door and the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here." Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. It makes me want to just start shouting, glory to God. He is risen. He's not here. "Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And when she went and told them that they had been with him, as they mourned and wept, and they said when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. And after that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither they believed them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. They saw a young man. Praise the name of the Lord. They went into that place and they saw what appeared to be a young man. It was an angel of the Lord. Recently, I was looking at some news clippings and come across one that was placed upon a website called Barnabas Said website. And the title of the message was, or the particular article was, "God's Intervention Saves 72 Captive Nigerian Christians from Boko Haram Firing Squad." How many of you read that article or heard that article? God shame you if you're still a Christian and watching CNN, because for 2 years, that particular broadcast outfit has done nothing but spread lies and distorted the truth. Wherever you go, that broadcasting company is there. If you go to the airports, they have a monopoly. And there are people who, that's all they see. And if you don't look beyond that, you don't see good news anywhere. Their news has been negative, and they've had a goal, their primary goal, even though they might for a moment cover something, but to bring down and destroy our president. Oh, my goodness. He's going to talk about the president for a minute. Yes, for a moment I might touch on him. He is a man. He is a man who has sinned, has done wicked things in his life. But I'm here to tell you that God has allowed him in that position that he's in. You know, it really bothered me when I'll go back and do just a little history just for a second here, when Bill Clinton got elected, because I knew he was a wicked man. He is a wicked man. Now, at the time, you couldn't find anybody to say that he was a wicked man, that he was a whoremonger, that he was a pervert. No, if you said, a matter of fact, I mentioned something that, and I won't go into all the details, to my wife one time, and she got on to me about, well, you don't know him, and you don't know whether he's lying or not. And I told her, I says, when he stuck his finger in that camera and said the thing that he said, I knew he was lying. I knew he was lying. You know, you've dealt with children. Many of you here are mothers, and you've had children. And you know when that child's lying to you. And as we get older, many of us, some of our observation techniques or whatever fail us. And we ignore things. We ignore signs. But if you were aware and knew and you listened to what that man said through the years leading up to that, you knew that he was fully capable of wicked things and that he was a liar. Well, I didn't particularly, I was not a big fan of Bill Clinton. I'll tell you, I wasn't a big fan of George H.W. Bush, and I was not a big fan of Barack Hussein Obama. But God allowed those people to get in that place against my wishes, many of them, some of them. And I prayed for them. And like with the current president, I do not agree. I tell people this, I would not want him for a neighbor. I would not want President Trump for a neighbor. He would drive me nuts. He's that hyperactive child that's climbing on the fence. He's doing everything. He's saying all kinds of ridiculous things. He's making all kinds of noise. But you know what? If you really listen to what he's, I'm not saying everything that he says, but he's telling the truth. And people on this, some of these news programs and on CNN have called him a liar for over 2 years now and told us what a terrible man he was. And as I move from one thing to another, and that's about covering news stories, I'll just say this. We need to pray for him, whether you like him or not, whether I like him or want him for a neighbor or not, we need to pray for him. But the problem that, and the point that I want to make is that places like CNN will not cover a news story like this. The rest of the news media will not cover this news. Do you realize that God is moving in various places around the world? But if all you do is watch that, if that's what consumes you, you do not know that God's intervention saved 72 captive Nigerian Christians from Boko Haram firing squad. And one of the reasons why things like this is not covered is because these people are Islamists. And there are people who want you to think that the Islamists are friends. And many people who are liberal and communists and all that, they want to have an alliance with them. Why? Because they're hungry for power. And they want to dominate over people. And they want to, in essence, steal, and I'm being too simplistic for some people, steal their freedom away from them and their opportunity to hear the most important thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they ignore things. The news media ignores things, and they ignored this story. A group of 500 Nigerian Muslim background Christians. That means they've accepted Christ as their Savior. They were Muslims. They now accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Who gathered together for safety after a string of Boko Haram attacks were later attacked again by the Islamist militant group. Most escaped apart from 76 men, women, and children who were taken captive, according to a Barnabas Fund contact. The 76 were taken to a Boko Haram terrorist camp where they were tortured. Now, this article was published on March 19th, 2019. So This news story is really not that old. An old news story is Russia collusion. But this story of March 19th is not really that old. The four male leaders of the group were told at gunpoint to renounce their faith in Jesus and revert to Islam. When they refused, holding fast to their Savior, the men were shot in front of their families and friends. Now, this was an Islam, this was not a Christian group that shot these other people. These were Islamists. And we as Christians abhor violence. We do not want horrible things. We don't want people attacking Islamists, Jews, or anybody else. We don't want people attacking sexual deviants and perverts. What we want is the Spirit of God to convict people of their sins, and we want the children of God to sing the praises of God and share the good news of God, that you don't have to continue in your sin because there is one who died for your sin who has the power, who's, as we read here in Mark chapter 16, the 19th verse, that he now sits at the right hand of God. He sits at a place of authority and power, and we want him to deliver you from whatever sin or wickedness you may be involved in. We don't want your life taken from you. We don't want you destroyed. We want you to have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ and accept his redemption and his ability to set you free from whatever you're captive to. And if you don't accept him, go your way. Hopefully, go your way in peace and let God deal with you. I'm not your judge. I'm not your final judge. Now, I can tell you that some of the things you're doing is sin, but I'm not your final judge. And I praise and thank God that I'm not the final judge, and so does my wife. The following week, the wives of the four martyred men were also ordered to renounce their faith or their children would be executed. The wives of the martyred men were told, you either renounce Jesus Christ or we're going to kill your children. These school children are from families who were forced to flee their homes because of Boko Haram and the Fulani herdsmen attacks. As the mothers struggled under this terrible burden into the night, praise God, the children came running in and said that the Lord Jesus had appeared to them and all would be well. In the nighttime, the mothers are in agony. If we don't reject Jesus Christ, if we don't renounce Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the fruit of our womb, those precious ones of the week we've carried typically for 9 months and given birth, are going to be slaughtered and murdered in front of our eyes. Oh, Lord, help us. We love you, Lord Jesus, but we don't want to see our children slaughtered before our eyes. The children come running in and saying that the Lord Jesus has appeared unto them and all would be well. I believe that happened. I believe that happened. But you know, there's some Christians who do not believe that Jesus Christ can manifest himself to us. Oh, bear with me. Stick with me. We don't run out of time. There's more to the story. There's wonderful things here. In Mark chapter 10, verse 15, we read, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter into their end of the kingdom of God. You have to have childlike faith. These children had faith. These children are precious in the sight of Jesus Christ. At least I remind you that Jesus said, you do to one of these children something terrible, it would be better off if a concrete block was tied around your neck and you were thrown into the deepest sea, because he looks over these precious ones, and Jesus Christ, God the Father, was looking over those whose lives were hanging in the balance. Going on, according to the account, the Lord Jesus then appeared to all of the group and told them not to fear, that he would protect them, they should not renounce him, but stay strong, knowing that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus appears to them, all of them that are still alive. And don't fear, for I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do not renounce me. Everything's going to be well. Well, those four men, our dads, our fathers, our grandfathers who loved you, they were martyred. And I would direct your attention to the book of Revelation that says that God's aware of his martyrs, that he loves his martyrs. And if you'll read the book of Revelation, you'll come across the portion of scripture there at the end where the martyrs cry out to God, how much longer before our deaths are avenged? And he tells them just a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. The next morning, the children, one girl as young as four, were lined up against the wall. Now, wait a minute. They're lining us up against the wall. They got automatic weapons. They've already killed our fathers already. And now Jesus, well, he was here last night. I don't see him anymore. He's not around. He said it's all going to be well. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my goodness, where are you, God? Why have you failed us? Now, it would be Christians around about us, many who would say that now. I don't know if any of them said that, but there are Christians, professing Christians, who could see a divine revelation of Jesus Christ, him tell them something, share his word with them, and then when he's not right there, well, you failed me, God. You've left me, God. I'm alone. No, you're not. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, they said once in the article, it says the mothers were told they could save them if they would renounce the Christ and return to Islam. The mothers refused. The soldiers cocked their rifles and prepared to take aim when they suddenly started to grab their heads, screaming and shouting, "Snakes! Snakes!" Some ran away, others dropped dead where they stood. As one of the soldiers fell down dead, a Christian captive reached down to pick up the soldier's gun and to fire on the fleeing Boko Haram militants. But the youngest child, the four-year-old, put her hand on his arm and said, Don't you do that. You don't need to do that. Can you not see the men in white fighting for us? Child of faith. Christ-like faith. All 72 lives were spared. You notice it was 76. They've killed four. 72 lives are spared. And the group is now living in other regions of Nigeria that are safe for Christians. When our English-speaking contact asked their pastor why Jesus appeared to them and not to others, he replied. And here's one of the zingers of this article. He does not need to. Why doesn't Christ appear to other Christians and to us as Christians? And the pastor says, he doesn't need to. And he went on to say, you have over 200 versions of Scripture and many people to explain the Bible to you. These people do not. Praise the name of the Lord. I've said in this ministry and on these airwaves before, you cannot destroy the Word of God. You see, Satan thought he had the Word of God destroyed when he had Jesus Christ hanging and dying on the cross. And guess what? He did not destroy the Word of God. And what he did by dying for you and me, not only did he die for you and me on the cross, he went into the pit of hell and took the keys, the spiritual keys, if you will, from Satan, and he rose from the dead. He come out of that hell, and he appeared to those who followed and loved him, and then he ascended to the right hand of God the Father. You cannot kill the Word. You cannot destroy the Word. I have said you can burn every Bible you can get your hands on, and you need a Bible that is your own and is precious to you and that you read and you're in and that you're in every day and you're leaning on and you're gleaning from and allowing God to speak to you by His Holy Spirit through that Word. Hallelujah. But if you try to burn all the words of all the Bibles in all the world, you're not going to destroy the Word of God. I'd rather refer you back to Daniel where the hand come and wrote on the wall. If God so desires, he can come and write the word on the wall again. If God so desires, if it's necessary, He can send Jesus Christ, a manifestation of Christ. He can send a young man. He can send, it says, they saw a young man. He can send one of his angels to declare to you what is his word and what is his will for you to do. And tell you like Jesus told them, be not afraid. Trust in me. That's what he tells us to do day after day, step by step. Trust in him. Hallelujah. Looking back at the scripture once again, they saw a young man. Many of us, most of us, will never see a young man. Most of us will never see an angel of the Lord. But if it suits God's purpose, the same God yesterday and today and forever can have a young man, an angel of the Lord, one who appears to be like a young man, come and speak to us like he did to Mary Magdalene and those that were there. And tell us the word. He is what we need, the information. They needed to know that he is risen. They were getting ready to go in that tomb, and they were getting ready to bathe the body of Christ and give it a proper burial and care for it because they loved him. People that we love, we do things for, and they wanted to honor him, his life, his ministry, and all that he meant to them. And they didn't fully understand the scriptures. But God sent one to them to let them know, he is risen, he is not here. Go tell his disciples, Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils, was the one that he, one of the ones he revealed, was the first one he revealed himself to. And I wanted to share this with you and ask you this and challenge you. There are those in Christendom who, by their words and their actions and what they say, they seem to think that after the church was established, that God evidently just destroyed all the angels and just destroyed all the demons or what have you. That they're all, well, I'm here to tell you that there are still forces of evil and wickedness in this world. And that God doesn't allow us to see with our physical eyes all the time the war that's going on in the spiritual realm around us. He doesn't allow us to see. But if it's profitable, if it's his will, if it'll serve his purpose, I'm here to tell you that he can open our eyes to see the spiritual realm. And I've said many times that the reason why it doesn't happen is because it would terrify us to see what's going on. If you go back and look at the scriptures and see, when the angel of the Lord revealed himself, the Lord God allowed somebody to have an angel of the Lord revealed to him, what normally happened? They fell over. They fell prostrate. They were stricken of fear. It said here in the scriptures that we shared with you in Mark chapter 16 that they were affrighted. They were terribly afraid. Hallelujah. He appeared to another of them in a form, and of two of them in another form. And they went and told the residue, that means the rest of the disciples, and guess what? You have a religious experience, and you're excited about it, and you go tell somebody, if their heart's not right, they're going to do like Brother Dave just did, laugh at you. They don't believe. There were people, the people at CNN, ABC, NBC, all these other places, plus many Christians, don't believe that God intervened and saved 72 Christians. They don't believe that an angel of the Lord appeared to them and spoke to them children and to the rest of them people. They don't believe that Jesus Christ has the power to manifest himself to them today. And I'm here to tell you that, yes, he does. But if he doesn't, you are without excuse because you have the Word of God and you have those who are dedicating their lives that they may expound and share and read the Scriptures to you. Oh, praise the Lord. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. Did they sit down to eat someplace in Galilee, I believe? And he upbraided them. He scolded them. The risen Savior got into their case and chewed them out because they did not believe. In another portion of Scripture, he chews out Thomas. He said, Thomas says, unless I touch the nail marks in his hands and his feet and his side, I'm not going to believe. Now, you folks can tell me all you want to tell me, but I'm not going to believe. And Jesus came, and he did a wonderful thing for Thomas. He held out his hands to him and showed him his side. And what did Jesus say? He said, blessed are they that believe who've not seen. Praise the amen, brother, that's us. Ye of those of us who have not seen and believe, blessed is he, blessed are they, hallelujah. And Jesus got into their case because they didn't believe. And there are going to be Christians who are going to be challenged by the Spirit of God because they want to put God into a box. They want to say, God, you can't meet my need. You did these wonderful things in the Scripture, but you can't do it today. You're not. And there's Christian ministers who are sharing these lies, just like the news media and their false news. There's people preaching a false, a watered-down gospel. The Word tells me that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God. And what is he doing there? He's not playing a video game. He is interceding for those whom he loves. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you believe, Jesus tells us some things, some wonderful things. In my name, they shall cast out devils. There are still demons and devils that need to be bound and need to be cast out. Praise the name of the Lord. And that same one who cast out those seven demons out of Mary Magdalene, that same one said, he that believeth on me, these things he shall do, and even greater, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, if ye believe me, obey my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Hallelujah. The Holy, the precious Holy Spirit, the precious Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. After the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven. And once again I read, and he sat at the right hand of God. Praise the name of the Lord. There were those that day that saw a young man. Those 72 prisoners, women and children, saw a manifestation of Jesus Christ. They saw one that looked maybe like a young man, even beside what's given here in the account. This is good news. These are the type of things that God is doing in this world. These are the type of things God wants to do for us, even though we may not see everything. God wants us to experience the benefit of the power of his Holy Spirit, the gift that he's given to us, will give to us if we will receive it, and also the benefit of all his atoning work at Calvary. I don't care what you're struggling with. It doesn't matter. God is bigger than that. I don't care what troubles or trials. Most of us make our own mess. Our decision making is messed up. We know to do right and we do wrong. Even Christians at times, they know to do right and they do wrong. Well, let me tell you here, we serve a God who's not pleased with our right, wrong decision making, but he's bigger than your mistake. He's bigger than whatever it is that's troubling you. He's bigger. He can deliver you. He can pick you up, and he wants to deliver you and set you free. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord.